turn with me tonight, if you would, to Genesis, the first book there in the Bible. What a wonderful study. It's just, we're just taking our time. We're not in a hurry to get through the first 11 chapters. And we're going to, I pray, by the time we get through the 11 chapters, that we have a firm foundation of the Word of God, because they're so imperative to our understanding the Word of God, and especially Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at tonight. Let's just begin at verse 1. It says, "In the beginning, God did something," and look what He did. "God created the heavens and the earth." He created them, the Bible says, out of nothing. He simply spoke it and it happened. "And the earth was without form, without void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." And I pray tonight that He is hovering over us. Amen? And that He wants to remove tonight any darkness, any heaviness, any burdens. Tonight, if your heart is heavy, then the Holy Spirit of God, who is here with us right now, just brooding over us, He wants to remove anything that's empty, the wastelands of our thinking and our heart and so forth. Just, Lord, do that tonight. And it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." And remember, that was not the sun. Remember, if you were not here, I pray you pick up that tape. "And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening, morning were the first day. And then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were of the second day." And now we're going to move into verse 9 tonight. And verse 9 through 19 are so important. And I want to tell you right off the bat that I do not have enough wisdom of my own and enough intelligence of my own to teach these verses to you tonight. I only know just a centimeter, if you will, just nothing of what they really and truly mean. It's very hard and a very delicate thing to go back to the beginning since we don't understand it. Amen? Another thing is that, you know, the Lord, like in a moment we're going to see, it says the Lord made the stars. Five words. Hello. Five words. I mean, He gave 50 chapters to the building of the tabernacle, the furniture, the utensils, and all of that, and He gives five words to the stars. You see what I'm getting at? So there's not a whole lot of information there. But tonight as we begin, the question that I want us to answer is this. The sun, the moon, and the stars, what are they for, really? Okay? The sun, the moon, and the stars, what are they for? Let's begin now with verse 9, which begins the third day of creation. "Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. And let the dry land appear, and it would so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called seas. And God saw it, and it was what? Good." So we know whatever happened then, it was very good. God was pleased with it. Now listen, think of this. We're at the third day. The earth, remember, is like a core. It is literally soaking in water. We've already learned that from our past teachings. Now, land was not visible now before day three. And now all of a sudden, this shoreless ocean, if you will, the earth is going to just start springing forth and the seas are going to go into their place. Remember that creation not only reveals the glory of God, but creation reveals the power of God, and creation reveals the grace of God. And here we see the power of God being revealed, because God simply said, He said what? "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear." And what happened? It was so. Now listen to me. Instantly. That didn't take like 10 billion years. Are you following me? Or a million years. It happened the moment that God said, let, it was already done. Are you following me? It's so important that we see that God said it, and instantly the dry land started to appear, and it was so. And let me say something to you. I believe in chapter 1. I believe in the entire Bible. I believe in the 6 literal days of creation. Here's the water now. The water is, now we have seas. We have a shoreline. And you think about that. Now, let me ask you a question. According to the Word of God, was man created yet? No, that's good news because, see, man didn't come out from the water and slither out as some kind of little slithering slitherer. You understand what I mean? It didn't happen that way. No, man wasn't, he's not a water person, as the evolutionists say. No, my Bible and your Bible teaches us that God created us out of the earth, the dust. And then he breathed into us and we became what? A living soul. Oh, the Bible, that's all we need. I mean, I know what scientists and geologists and evolutionists say, but you know what? God is smarter than they are. Amen? And so I just believe the Word of God. Think of it. It says that the waters, he called them seas. That's how they got the name. And here's the thing. They instantly obeyed God. Think of that for a moment. Creation, at the moment God said it, instantaneous obedience. You know, if you study, remember when we went through Jeremiah, I don't know, chapter 5 or someplace in there, and how God was talking about the prophet was crying out how the seas and the earth obey the Lord. He said, but his own people will not obey him. You know, let us be a people that when the Lord says something, let's be instant in obedience. Amen. Amen. Oh, how glorious that would be. Now look at, as the third day continues here, look what God said again in verse 11. And then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. Did you catch that? And it was so. God started where? He started right there on the earth. He started with the earth. Now think of it for a moment. The seas are now there. The earth has been formed out of that, risen, or however the Lord did it. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I know this. There was absolutely, think of it, the earth is there, the seas, nothing in the heavens. The sun wasn't there. The moon wasn't there. There was not any stars. And listen, there was water, but there was nothing in the water, meaning it was without life. Can you just imagine that for a moment? I mean, you know what happens today is that we watch so many movies, you know, I mean, TV, this is a TV generation, you can't get over it. That's just part of your, I mean, you've adopted, they're a member of the family. But the thing is that you have to have all these visuals today when if you just read the Word of God, and you know how I always tell you that the Word of God becomes a movie to me. And I see all this and I'm looking at earth. I see the seas going into the place. The shorelines are being outlined. God just said it and it just happened instantly. It didn't gradually happen. It was instantaneous. And there are the waters. Now listen, there's no sun, there's no moon. So that means there's not any waves, correct? Huh? Can you see it? I mean, it's just smooth. And there's not any fish jumping up yet or any of that. Just water. I stand amazed at that. And I look at that and I say, Lord, gosh, that's unbelievable. And look what God does in verse 12. He says, and the earth brought forth grass and the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And the Lord saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Now listen, look at the earth. Do you see it in your mind's eye? You know, in your imagination, there it is. You see the seashore now being formed. You see the earth there. And all of a sudden, God says, let the earth bring forth grass. And I mean, just look at the earth and immediately it's luscious and green. Amen? It happened in an instant. In other words, the bare earth was covered with full-grown vegetation. It just didn't evolve. Are you following me? That's not true. It happened soon as the Lord said it. Instantly, it said, let the fruit according to its kind and the seed itself and all that. Listen, the herbs, the plants, full grown immediately right there on the earth. It talks about the tree that yields fruit. It was instantaneous. Can you imagine all of a sudden seeing banana trees just popping up everywhere? Instantaneous. Banana trees, fig trees, apple trees, all the orange trees, all of them, all full grown and all of them ready to eat. Can you imagine what a banana would taste like? Think about that. I think about it and I look at all that. Listen, plants and trees, okay, did not evolve, as the evolutionist says, from marine organisms. The marine life didn't even come into being until when? The fifth day. So we know that didn't happen. And you know what? Now think of this for a moment. I don't want to be silly, but I am being practical. Now, I know that right now the reason that I'm suffering from these horrible allergies and you're suffering from these horrible allergies, you understand? It comes from all those plants that the Lord made. But now think about this for a moment. All of this vegetation now, the grasses everywhere and the herbs, meaning the plants and so forth, the fruit-yielding trees all over the earth. No sun, no moon, that's not there yet. Now listen, and something else. This is really cool. There are not any insects. Yeah, they haven't been created yet. Or do you understand? How cool is that? No mosquitoes, but also now, listen now, that means that since the insects, that didn't happen until the sixth day. Do you understand? That's the sixth day. Now, that means that nothing was being pollinated. Evolutionists hate that. Think about that now. See, listen, this proves to me that since the insects that there, and of course they had, you know, the trees and everything else require pollination, as you know. The problem is that this proves to me, since it didn't happen until the sixth day, because see, they say it evolved over millions and millions of geological ages. Are you following me? Well, that can't be. That can't be. It has to be literal days as far as I'm concerned. Now, God's command, it's very important that we see this tonight. God's command was what? It says reproduce. It says over and over. It says according to its kind, according to its kind, according to its kind, over and over. Now listen, God's command, reproduce. Now listen very carefully. Life appeared on earth instantaneously. Are you hearing? I mean, when God said it, it instantly happened. Life on our planet did not begin slowly and gradually, struggling and straining. I mean, can you imagine an apple tree coming about going, oh, you know, apple. No, it doesn't happen like that. You know, living things produce or reproduce after its kind. I know in college and high school and junior high and all that, I know that they teach the theory of evolution. They don't teach it as a theory hardly anymore, but as fact, but it's not. But there's no such thing as gradual evolution. Things didn't happen gradually. Right here, it says the trees, all of them, it happened in an instant. Listen, you go back and look at any fossil record, I'll get into that in a minute. Let me just back up. If you take two apple trees. You know, God created the fruit trees. Let's cross a couple of apple trees. Now, you can do that. You know what I'm saying? You can cross a couple of apple trees and create different kinds of apples. Like, you know, we have what? Granny Smith apples. We have Washington State apples. We have those big, delicious red apples. We have Macintosh apples and all the kinds of apples. But, you know, here's the thing. An apple tree, listen very carefully. I know this is going to be very deep for some of you. Now, An apple tree will never, ever reproduce a banana tree. Why? Because the tree reproduces after its kind. Are you following me? It's so important. An apple tree will never produce an apricot tree, an orange tree. And listen, God says after its kind. Everything produces after its kind. Amen? You breed any two dogs in the world. I don't care what you, any two dogs in the world or any time in the history of the world, and you're going to get a dog. You're not going to get a cat. Amen? You're not going to get an eagle or a horse or a snake. It doesn't happen that way. You know, a man and a woman, listen, they will never produce cheetah. Do you understand? It, we reproduce after our kind. And I know, you know, this sounds silly, but it's so important because they don't teach that in schools. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it's very, very important. See, a fish cannot become a bird, and a bird cannot reproduce a fish, and a bird certainly can't become a cat. Now, listen very carefully. We do not have any fossil records showing an animal evolving into another animal. Isn't that amazing? You should have something if it's true. Amen? In other words, don't you think that, I mean, if we evolved, I mean, I watched this little video, you know, and it shows how the, it's like a 5-minute video, and how we slithered out of the water, and all of a sudden, you know, a leg started growing, and an arm, and all of that. Well, don't you think that the fossil record should show some of that? In other words, if there was that evolution, I mean, why don't they show like a leg, it's no longer a little fish leg, a fin, it's a human leg. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, is that insane? Okay. Look here for a moment here. Look at verse 24. Just let's look at it. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to its what? Kind. Okay, cattle, creeping things, beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw it was good. Now listen, did you catch that? If you don't catch anything else tonight, catch this. It says after its kind. That means it was instant. Are you following me? It didn't gradually become a little insect or a little bee or those little whatever, the creeping things and all the things that I just read to you. Listen, it was instant. Creation was not gradual. It was instantaneous because God said it. And that is so vital to us really understanding the Word of God and who we really are. You know, it's so easy. I know how it is in college and in high school and so forth. You know, you have to pass the test, folks. So you sit there and you have to learn all that stuff. But really, the Word of God tells us the truth, and that's what we want to know about. Amen? Now, evolution, see, evolution says that all things are interrelated by common ancestry. That's not true. We just read that everything reproduces after its kind, but let me prove that to you, that there's not a common thread. You ready? Just write this down, or you can turn there, but just write it down. It's fine. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:39. You ready? All flesh. You see, evolution teaches that everything is interrelated by common ancestry. It's not. It's not true. And I can prove it, 1 Corinthians 15:39. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds. Now, there are also celestial or heavenly bodies and terrestrial or earthly bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one. The glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. Listen, we are not evolving. Do you understand? My flesh is, and your flesh is human flesh. We don't share that with a chimpanzee, or we don't share that with the whale. We don't share it with any of those insects. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't care how close they say that a chimpanzee is to a man, to a human. Listen, he doesn't look anything like me. And do you understand? And he doesn't think anything like me. As a matter of fact, we are created in the image of God, and he is created in the image of a chimpanzee. Are you following me? Very simple. I know you know that. Now, there in verse 11, it says that the seed was in itself. Aren't seeds incredible? I mean, you know, we have a place here in America, I forget where it's at, where we have all these seeds that are stored in case something ever happened. And, you know, I was doing a little study. Just let me give you a list of some seeds here for a moment, if you don't mind. Because it said the seed was in itself, meaning it was created that way. Like when the tree bring forth a tree yielding fruit, meaning the fruit was hanging from the tree. It was a full-grown tree. So when we look at these seeds here, listen to some of the seeds we have today. Now, we've, of course, named them. Now, we have what's called exploding seeds. Now, as it dries, it says, it shoots out seeds all over. Isn't that amazing? The pine tree, they have what's called propeller seeds. It says a pine cone opens the seeds and they fall, and as they fall, they spin away from the tree. Isn't that cool? And they go, so another tree will come up. Here's a really neat one. Umbrella seeds. They're from the dandelions. You've picked those up and blown, you know, and they take off. Well, the wind catches them and carries them away. I did a study today on corn, like grain. In other words, listen to this. Here's a fact. If you plant one grain of corn, this is what God has made, okay, the seed. It says, and then whatever it produces, you take it and you plant all of those grains. And it says, now do the same next year. It says in 6 years, you would have enough corn to plant the entire earth's surface. Isn't that amazing? The seed is in itself. Everything reproduces only after its kind. Yes, you can put a couple apple trees together and come up with a different kind of apple, but it's still an apple. Are you following me? Very important that we see that tonight, the fourth day. And this fascinates me more, and I wish that I was one of those great teachers and great scholars who just had a handle on this, but I say tonight, I know it's not true. But I say to myself, the reason this fascinates me is the sun and the moon and the stars. What are they really for? And as I looked on this, it just fascinates me so much. Church, listen to me. Evolution steals the worship of God from man. Did you know that? Evolution takes man away from the things of God. Let's look tonight what they really do. It says in verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens. And the purpose there? To give light on the earth. And it was so. Now look at the earth again. There is the earth. You have your seas in place. It's covered with beautiful green grass, all kinds of plant life, all types of trees that are bearing fruit. And the sky, listen to me now, the sky is empty. Isn't that amazing? It's just empty. And then suddenly, I mean, suddenly the universe above, the atmosphere, the heavens above us, I mean, it's just in an instant, not slowly, not the Big Bang, not gradually, not a 10 million meteorites passing through, hitting one another. No. Instantly, the moment God said it, let there be lights in the firmament, it was so. Are you following me? It was instantaneous. And now, for the first time, earth, and eventually man, of course, when man is created, but earth will now be governed by what is called days, and what's called seasons, and what's called time, for the first time here in this certain time period. And then it says in verse 16, and then God made two lights, the greater light to rule or govern the day, the lesser light to rule or govern the night. And he made the stars also. There it is, five words. Can you believe that? He made the stars also. And look what God did. God set them in the firmament that expands in the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were of the fourth day. Now listen, the moon, the sun, the moon. How mysterious is that? You know, I mean, if you had been God, if you were God, would you create the sun and the moon? See, we take those two beautiful things for granted. The sun has always been there, sun also rises, da 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 da. But the thing is, if you had been the creator, would you have done something like that? God in his wisdom. I mean, look at the moon. The moon doesn't have any light of its own, not any bit of light at all. The sun is what gives it its light. Amazing the way God set everything up in the universe. So the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now listen carefully. They did not appear. They did not appear on the fourth day. In other words, like so many Christians, I mean, and teachers, teach that, well, the cloud cover finally went back, and then all of a sudden there was a sun because God created that on the very first day of creation. No, He didn't. He created it here on this day in creation, on that fourth day. And so they were not in existence before. They were not in existence until God said, let there be. Now, my question is this. How did Moses, who we believe is the writer of this now, how did he know that the sun was larger than the moon? Well, there's only one way he could have known, because every civilization there at the time of Moses taught that the moon was larger than the sun. Because when you look at the moon, it looks like it is larger, doesn't it? You know, when you see the full moon, you say, oh, there's no way the sun is, you know. And matter of fact, the sun can contain 6 million moons. That's how big the sun actually is. You know, the psalmist said this in Psalm 148:1. Let me read it to you. He says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, you angels, all your hosts, and here it comes. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all the stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Listen, everything in the universe, the sun, the moon, and the stars, the heavens, when God brought them in, yes, creation reveals the glory of God. Creation reveals the power of God. Creation reveals the grace of God to man because He made the earth for us. When you see the sun, listen, God didn't need to make the sun for Himself. He made it for us. He made it for the earth. He made it for you. Whenever you see a beautiful tree or grass, He made it. That's the grace of God. He made it for you. The sun, the moon is one. You know, when I was a young man in the military, and I would drive home, you know, from wherever I was stationed, out Colorado, Fort Bliss, and Texas or wherever. And when I was still in the States, I would come home whenever I could, you know, for a vacation or whatever, my break they give you. And back then, you know, when I came home, I'd go down 377 and go to Keller because that's where I live with my sister. And it wasn't like it is today. In other words, it was a very small two-lane highway, and there was nothing there, nothing, on each side of 377. Are you following me? I mean, it was beautiful, all farmland. And back then, when you would drive, you could see the railroad, you know, which is there, it runs parallel with 377. And you could see the railroad all the way from here to Keller, or actually from the 820 there after you pass Fossil Creek or whatever that's called now. And you could see it. And I would always, when I would turn and I would get on 377, you know, you've been driving all morning, you leave early and you're nearly home and the sun is going down. And have you ever seen the sun hit the railroad tracks? And that beam of light, how it follows you? And that beam of light would follow me all the way to Keller. And every time I would come home, and I just happened to make it, usually when the sun was going down, but it hit the rail thing out there, it always made me know I was nearly home. Now, I don't know why I told you that. I just to say that there's something special that the sunsets do in our life. There's something that you walk out and you're hunting maybe in the night or fishing late all by yourself, and all of a sudden you're out there and there's a full moon. There's something about when you look at what God has created, and it should put worship in our hearts, because that's what the sun and the moon and the stars do. They point man. They point us to look up and say, and rejoice in God who created it all. Amen? But today, see, the evolutionists, they steal all that from our children. They steal it because they teach that God didn't create any of those things. Those things evolved, or they hit meteorites, or there was the Big Bang, or whatever it is. I've forgotten so much of it, I don't even want to remember it. Amen? No. God just spoke, and everything is praising the Lord. You know that everything God made, it says, let me just continue. Listen to what it says in Psalm 148 again. It says, praise the Lord from the earth. Listen to this now. You great sea creatures, all in the depths, fire, snow, hail, cloud, stormy wind, fulfilling His word, mountains, hill, fruitful trees, cedars, beasts, cattle, creeping things, the flying fowl. It says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Everything that is, that God created in Genesis 1, all of His creation, God says, praises me. That's what it all points to. See, creation, the sun, moon, stars, all of that should point us to the worship of Almighty God. Look at verse 14 again. Watch this now, and I'll prove it to you. It says, "Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night." And here it is. "And let them be for," okay? "Let the sun and the moon and the stars, let them be for what?" Here it comes. Well, signs, seasons, days, years. The Bible says in Psalm 104:19, it says, "He," meaning God, "appointed the moon for seasons." It says, "Let them be for signs," and so forth. Listen, and that is not for God, that is for you and me. If you look at the word seasons there, it, you know, and immediately you think, okay, summer, winter, spring, fall, and so forth. That's not what God is talking about, although that is included. That word that's used there has to do with not just the seasons, you know, like I said, fall and winter and so forth. It has to do about celebrations. It has to do about feast days. It has to do about worship. Just read when you get home Leviticus chapter 23. When it tells us there in verses 1 through 4, it talks about all these days were set there, these feasts for in their seasons. Let me just give you a few of the things that God has put there. For example, for the seasons, it have to do with the sun, moon, and stars. How about Passover? It says in Passover, when you study Leviticus 23, it'll tell us that it's the evening of the 14th day of Nisan, which is March or April. We're getting ready to celebrate Passover, aren't we? And April, it will be what? After Passover is what? First fruits. What is first fruits? It's the resurrection, isn't it? When does that occur? Well, it occurs the Sabbath after the Passover week. It's a season that God has enabled. And then after first fruits, what happens 50 days after first fruits? We celebrate the feast of Pentecost. It'll be seven Sabbaths after that. The Bible will tell you. So these days and these years and these seasons and all that was given, they were given to man to worship the Lord. How about the Day of Atonement? The Day of Atonement had to be the 10th month. It had to be on the 7th day of the month. And that meant it was going to happen in September or October. There's so much here in the first chapter of Genesis that we just simply look over when everything is pointing to the worship of God. Are you following me? Very, very important that we see this. Let me just read to you Deuteronomy 4:15. God says, "Take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw that no form when the Lord spoke to you at Oreb out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure, in the likeness of a male or female, the likeness of any animal that's on the earth, or any winged bird that flies in the air," meaning all the things that God created in chapter 1. Now, let me continue. "Or the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that's in the water." And listen now carefully. And He says, "And take heed," here it comes, "lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, and you see the moon, and you see the stars, and all the host of heaven," here it comes, "you feel driven to worship them and serve them." Now listen, whatever you worship, you will serve. He said, "Worship and serve them, which the Lord your God has given." Why has He given it to? It says, all peoples. He says, "I've given all the sun, the moon, the stars to all peoples under the heaven." Why? As a heritage. Now listen, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. I can't even imagine how big God is. You know how big the sun is, the star, and the heat. Think about that for a moment. And how He placed everything so perfectly. And you look at all of that, and it did not take, because see, the devil knew. It didn't take the devil long to pervert the worship of God, did it? No, it started right there at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 10 and Genesis 11. No, listen, it's so horrible. He perverted the true worship of God. And it didn't take long for man, after Satan started perverting things, to start worshiping. Instead of worshiping the Creator, they started worshiping the creation. Listen, may I say something to you? astrology, the zodiac, and all those things, they're from the devil. Do you understand? They're from the devil. If you read those things, I tell you this in love. I'm not trying to run your life, but if you want to be obedient to God, throw that stuff in the trash because that's where it belongs. Your life is not governed by the sun, moon, stars, planets, the movements. Do you understand me? You're not going to, I'm a Virgo, okay, and you're opening up, you're going to meet some person today and you're going to fall in love and it's going to be a great day and a prosperous day and, oh, well. Listen, no, your life is not governed by the stars or the planets or any of that. Your life is governed by the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Now, when we look into the heavens, we should worship the Lord. When you see the sun, the moon, when it comes and say, oh, Lord, you made that. You made that to light up the earth, and it's the greater light to rule or govern the earth. And when the moon comes out, tonight only 12% of the moon will be seen because we've passed, the way that the lining of the earth and all that is. So it's only 12% tonight. But then it starts increasing more and more as the time. Then we'll have that full moon all over again. And God says, I put that there. I put that there that when you look upon it, I did that for you. I did that to govern the nighttime, but I also did it so my people, meaning the Jews, that they would know when their feast days, they didn't have a calendar, they didn't have a date book, they didn't have Outlook. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't have the internet. They didn't have any of those things. They watched, oh, the moon, it's time for this feast. Are you following me? It's time to worship the Lord in this manner. So they were set there by God so men would know when to worship Him. The Bible says in Romans 1:22, it says, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man, into bird and four-footed animals and creeping things. When a man stops worshiping God, the next step is they worship self. And then the digression begins. After that, they start worshiping creeping things and animals and bugs. That's how far down they go. Now listen. The next word there, it says, and for signs. I encourage you to go through the Bible. First of all, go through the Bible and just look up seasons in the King James, not the New King James, but the King James Version. And then look up the word signs. God says, I've given signs as well. What was one of the first signs that God gave unto man? Remember the covenant that God made with Noah? Listen to this sign right here, Genesis 9:13. God says, I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me, you, and every living creature of all flesh. Not the same kind of flesh, all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it as a reminder of the everlasting covenant I've made between God and every living creature of all flesh on this earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant that I've established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Every time you see a rainbow in the sky, scientists tell us, well, you've got all this water up here and it's actually just crystals and the sun is hitting it a certain way, creating all those colors. Well, I don't know what's going on. I'm not that smart. But I'm smart enough to know that when I see it, I go, oh Lord, your sign, that covenant has been around a long time, amen? And every time we look on that, I don't know all the things that scientists say that are happening, but man, like if you see a double rainbow, how cool is that? But I'm just one rainbow, and it's, there's no pot of gold there, I'm sorry. But what is there is God's promise. He said, that is the sign I place in my, and so for all the world will know, I'll never ever destroy the earth again that way. Isn't God good? This is so simple that a little child could understand it. You understand? We don't have to make it hard. You want to hear an incredible sign? Listen to this sign that's going to be given during the fourth trumpet judgment there in the great tribulation period from Revelation. Let me just read it to you. Revelation 8:12, quickly. The fourth angel sounded and the third of the sun was struck. Remember, I'm talking about the sun, the moon, the stars are for signs. Yes, they're for seasons of worship, but they're also for signs of judgment in the Bible. And it says that the fourth angel sounded and the third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened and a third of them did not shine, and likewise the night. Can you believe? Listen, that's not symbolic there. That is literal. That's going to happen during the great tribulation period. Can you imagine a third of each one of the, I mean, think of that. The radical change in nature. And you know, if you keep reading there about the trumpet judgments, you'll find that man didn't repent. They didn't repent at all. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of earth will be shaken. Listen, the second coming of Christ begins with a supernatural sign in the heavens. See, God placed them there just not to give us warmth and to rule the day and to rule the night and to show us the times of worship for the Jews and so forth. No, He said, no, I'm going to use these things that I've placed up there for something else, to let you know that judgment is coming, that judgment's on hand. It says in Amos 5:20, listen to this one. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it very dark? It says there's no brightness in it at all. One more, Amos 8:9, or maybe two more. Listen to this. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon and I will darken the earth in broad daylight. In broad daylight. You're talking about a sign. One more. It says in Isaiah 13:9, that was written, this is written 700 years before our Lord was even born. It says, behold, the day the Lord is coming is cruel, fierce anger to lay the land desolate. He will destroy sinners from it. Here it comes. For the stars of heaven, their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the earth for the world for its evil. It says when the Lord returns, there'll be, in Luke 21:25, there'll be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars and the earth. And men's heart will be failing them for fear for the things that are coming on the earth. You know, go through your Bible and study each one of those out. And you know what? When you look at the sun tomorrow and the moon tomorrow and the stars tomorrow, you're going to have a different feeling. You understand? You're going to have a different understanding because those things are really going to happen. God's Word is so rich, it's so pure. We can read it and understand it. What did God promise? What did God promise to Israel? Remember what He promised about them? Let me just read to you. It says in Jeremiah 31:35, thus saith the Lord who gives the sun for the light by day, the ordinances of the moon, in other words, the fixed orders of the moon and the stars for a light by night. It says who disturbs the sea and causes the waves to roar. He says, God says this, if these ordinances, meaning the sun, the moon, and the stars, if they pass away from me, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Is the sun still shining? Is the moon still out there? Are the stars still there? Are they still fixed? Well, as long as they are, Israel is going to survive. Amen? Amen. And every nation on earth better take heed to that. Listen, let me conclude tonight, and I feel pressed here a little bit for time because I realize it's communion night, but the sun and the moon and the stars, what are they really for? You remember in Matthew, let me just read Matthew 2, a couple of verses. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star. We have seen his star in the east. And listen to what they say. And we have come to worship him. The sun, the moon, and the stars. What are they for? They are to always direct us or lead us in the worship of God. When you look there at night with your little children and you take them out on the campgrounds or they're on a picnic at night and you look up into the heavens and you see the constellations and you see the stars that streak across the sky, the shooting stars and all those cool things like that. Listen, you need to say, you know why they're there? Well, they're for seasons. Yes, they're for signs, but they're to direct us to worship our God. For He created them instantly. They did not gradually appear. He did it instantly. And He did it because He has given it to us as a heritage. And when we see those, it should lead us not to worship the sun or the moon or the stars like people still do today. And that was what Israel was so guilty about and what they wouldn't repent. They were worshiping all those things. It says that the wise men, listen now, It says, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Christian, listen to me. The miracle of the star is not what we need to get hung up on. Amen? See, if we do the Christmas story and we get the star, we're going to miss the whole thing. The whole point of what the Holy Spirit wants us to see is this, that God will do anything. He'll let a star appear. He'll move heaven and earth. He'll do anything if you're seeking God to get you to a place to worship Him. Amen? And that's exactly what it's all about. The sun and the moon and the stars, when God set them all out there, yes, many more reasons, but primarily they point us to the worship of Almighty God. I thank God for that tonight. Amen?